Daydream Believers with Ellen L.
Hello.
How are ya?
I'm freezing my tits off because...
Oh, don't let them fall off.
Don't let them fall.
No.
No, I'm actually really cold this winter.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah, but you just came back from Europe, so you're probably feeling it more than your average...
My average
Joe. Aussie, you know?
Winter, yeah. No, I think I'm feeling it. And it's not even too cold. Like, there's still be some sun out. I think
it
I'm
was
just
18
not
in- degrees today, dude.
Is that cold or warm?
That's warm for winter.
Yeah, good point,
Melbourne
good point.
Winter anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm all right. How are you going?
Not too bad. I've got a little bit of like a sniffle.
Yeah.
Which is probably why I sound a bit like a dude.
No, I don't. I think it kind of sounds quite cute.
Really?
Yeah, I like us. I feel like I like when someone's got a cold and the sound of that husk, like the slight tinge of husk.
Oh, yeah. It always reminds me of Monica from Friends when she has her cold.
I'm fine. Oh, I've been watching Friends lately as well. That just hits so nicely.
But in my sniffleness.
Yes.
I tend to watch a lot of comfort movies when I feel a little bit under the weather because, I don't know, it just makes me feel, like I said, it's a comfort movie, it comforts me.
Mm-hmm.
But in this little under the weather experience I am experiencing, I've been watching Cheaper by the Dozen.
Oh, so good.
So good, right?
Who doesn't love some Steve Martin, honestly?
I freaking love that man so much. I'm obsessed with him.
Uh-huh.
I'm obsessed with everything about him. But I haven't watched Cheaper by the Dozen in years.
Really?
Years, Elle.
I feel like I watch both of them quite often, actually. No. Maybe multiple times a year.
For some reason, even though it's like one of my comfort movies, it's one that's just kind of missed the boat in my...
Yeah, you do
in
the
my
other round.
Cycle,
yeah.
Right? And I haven't watched it in years. And I have some notes.
Oh, okay.
On it now.
What notes?
So, back when I used to watch it when I was a kid, and I don't think I've watched it since I was like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm thinking it's been more than a decade.
Yes.
Since I've watched it, so it's been a long time. Back when I used to watch it, I used to really like sympathize with the kids, especially Sarah Baker.
Oh, I love Sarah Baker. I love that actress.
I used to think she was so cool. And when she does the thing where she puts Ashton Kutcher's jocks in the mincemeat, I used to think,
smart.
Oh my God, Sarah Baker, you are just
a genius.
I used to love her. I found myself not feeling that way watching it this time.
Not
as an adult who is also a parent now.
Yeah, it's just like, how dare you, little crap.
All I could think of was, you little fucking shit. What the fuck? As if. That's all I found myself thinking. Like, you little shits.
Especially if you put yourself, what's the sister's name? The girlfriend of Ashton Kutcher. Oh my God, what is her name?
In my head,
her name is Heather, but it's not Heather.
I was thinking Noelle, but it's not. It's Naomi. It's not Naomi. Nora.
Nora.
Nora. Yeah.
Nora. Yes, Nora. Right.
Nora. That's it.
She must be in Seventh Heaven, and that's why I'm thinking of Heather, because that's
is
how
she
I
get. Is she in Seventh Heaven?
I feel like she's... for some reason, anyone that's in Seventh Heaven, I think of their name as Heather. I don't know why.
I mean, like, it fits.
Yeah, it feels like it works.
It fits. It's the same thing.
Yeah, Nora, I just think about it from her perspective right now, and I'm like, oh, that would fucking suck.
That would be really
like,
bad.
Like, imagine you getting, like, you, like, so happy about the relationship you're in, regardless of how toxic it is and how shitty the boyfriend is, and your family doing that.
I know!
And driving them away, and then you feeling that, like, that anger, and it kind of just gets dismissed. Oh,
it does, because then Steve Martin's like in the living room now, and you're thinking, oh, they're gonna cop it.
Yeah,
they're gonna cop it. And then it's like, what you did was so wrong. Funny
but
wrong.
Oh,
it's like,
I remember
come
that.
On
funny but wrong.
But wrong.
I remember watching that and feeling so happy that he said funny. Like, he gets it. He gets it. Man.
There's
that
also
was such
part,
an ideal family to be part of.
I know. There's also the part when Ashton Kutcher gets there and him and Nora are, like, making out in front of her parents. They're, like, full start making out. And then the mum, what's her?
She's
Hunt,
like, oh.
She's like, Nora, stop. Come on, should we go to the kitchen, clean up, pray to Jesus or something? Like, she says something like that. Full making out in front of the parents. And all I could think to myself was, I could never.
Yeah, that's actually a good point, especially when you have 11 other siblings that are way younger than you.
I know. Like, and like, they're like, hi.
Like, the youngest ones are like 3, but like,
I know.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Good point. Like, I like the second one, and obviously Taylor Lautner in the second one. That's like when my little child crush happened. Oh my god, what a
stud!
Such
right?
a stud.
Tell me about stud.
Seriously, what's his name? Elliot Utah. Like Elliot Murtaugh. Murtaugh.
Utah.
Yeah, Elliot Murtaugh. Oh, or when they do the little like. The camp song singing. Oh, yeah, that makes me. And they have like that little competition between the yeah. two families. I love that stuff. But there's something that every single time I see it. So every time I take Presley for a walk, my dog.
Yeah.
And I see dog poop on the like the street, or if I pick up his poop, I instantly, first thing that pops in my head is like, scat, scat, because in the second movie, the kid that's obsessed with the frog or whatever he is. Yeah,
beans.
Beans, yeah. He like talks about how he's like got like all this knowledge about like animal scat, which is animal poop.
Yeah.
And I only learnt that that word meant poop in that movie. So now that's literally how my brain connects. Yeah. It's like scat, scat. And then I start seeing Scatman, and then I think of the saxophone kid, and it just like it really continues on to
wow.
cheap by the
you
dozen.
Just, you trend. Just go on. I go like into
a dive, a deep
just
dive.
From animal poop.
Just from animal poop.
Wow, that's
them
good
scats.
To know.
Them scats.
Anyway, those are the thoughts I had on Cheap by the Dozen. I wonder if anyone feels the same.
I wonder what other movies are like that, where when we watched them when we were kids, we're like, oh yeah, that's so great, that's so funny, and then there's like a scene where, as an adult, you're like, wait a second, that was not funny.
What or about like, what about Cat in the Hat?
Oh, because, I haven't watched that in ages, though.
Because, what's her name? She passed away now. John Travolta's wife, who
oh,
was the mum.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I saw, I'm remembering Cat in the Hat movie, but I love that lady. Her
I know.
Something Presley.
Oh, Something Presley. You're right. Yes. She was the mum, and I remember her son being, like, again, just a little turd.
In the movie, yeah.
Me thinking, ha ha, so funny. When I was younger, I wonder what I think of it now.
You should watch it and give us an update.
I will update everyone on that.
See, sometimes I still watch these things as an adult, and I'm just like still right there in the kid mind frame. Like, like when you mentioned the Sarah Baker thing, I'm like, it's so funny.
She's
like,
so fucking cool.
It's just so cool.
You just want to be
even
her.
When they put like the beef tartare inside of the little pillow in the second movie, I just find it funny. I don't know. It's horrible.
They break all of the china.
Yeah.
And they knock Steve Martin and Eugene Levy over the balcony and into Eugene the Levy. Water.
It's when you think of it realistically, you're like, holy shit, that's little shits of kids. But then you think about it realistically again, and you're like, well, if there was 12 kids in my family, I feel like it's bound to happen that, like, there's a group of them that are just like the naughty kids or like troublemakers.
Probably. I can barely get a handle of my one kid.
Yeah, but he would never.
He would never.
Would never.
Says every parent about their child. He would never.
Eugene Levy, I feel like, does say that in the movie.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's like, you need to push. You need to push your kids.
Yes.
And then they're all like reading books when it pans like, to his
kids. My favorite subject is math. Like,
Elle, shall we move on to formalities?
Please, let's do it.
What we like to do in the podcast is to tell you what was number one in music history this week. And when I say this week, I mean the episode when...
The episode?
The week that the episode comes out. Oh my god, that was so difficult to get out. Okay, first on the list, in 1957, Let Me Be Your Teddy Bear by Elvis Presley was number one.
Oh.
We're going to the 50s.
Oh,
even though the song is 60s.
Mama,
but
go.
Damn,
welcome
I love to the 50s.
Yeah, I was like 60.
Hey, mama. Yes.
John Travolta again. Okay.
John Travolta. Yeah. A theme in this episode. Elvis Presley, number one for basically nearly every year of the 50s.
Wow. That's actually amazing. The teddy bear song, remind me how that goes.
Oh, it's very like...
Oh, my teddy bear, that one.
Yeah. It's very like... you know what I mean? You know that kind of sound?
I think I used to play that song for Presley all the time, actually. Ah, it is, yes. That is what I used to play for Presley.
That's so cute. Ooh, it's really funny that you say that you used to sing this to your dog because it's actually featured in Full House.
Oh, really?
Right. And John Stamos used to sing this song as a lullaby to the character Michelle.
Oh, that's Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Well, there you go.
Oh, cute ass.
Just singing as a lullaby to them.
Yeah. Oh, that's sweet. Mm. Oh, I haven't watched, like, I watched Full House when I was younger, but purely because I was obsessed with Mary-Kate and Ashley and anything that they were in. But, like, really dedicated diehard fan. They're the only books I ever read were, like, this, like, the, oh my god, what the fuck, So Little Time. No, that's not, I'm getting too confused. Two of a Kind. Yeah, and So Little, I swear So Little Time is the other one. Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, I've never actually properly watched Full House. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's something I should do.
Mm.
Maybe as an adult, because I never watched that other than like a few episodes here or there as a kid, I think.
I haven't watched it at all.
It looks like it's fun. People love it.
People there was like love a whole it.
Second, like, yeah, there was like Fuller a House. Yeah,
Fuller House.
My cousins are really into it as well. Yeah. Actually, I should get into that.
I think one of the characters went to jail.
Oh, really?
Like the actress that played them, because she like, don't get me wrong, her daughter was like a YouTube personality.
Oh,
and her mum like bribed the school or something.
Yes, I vaguely remember this.
Do you remember?
I know which lady you're talking about. Yeah. And I know which girl on TikTok you're talking about.
Well, back then, YouTube.
I know which ones you're talking about. Jail, though. Interesting jail time.
Interesting, indeed.
I'm curious to learn more about that. To
the jail time. Jailhouse Rock.
Oh.
In 1983, Every Breath You Take by The Police was number one.
Every breath you take. What a song.
Great song.
I love Sting. I actually saw him in concert not too long ago, like about not even 6 months ago.
Oh, that's all right.
Fantastic live. Really? Like, I was really, really into it.
Nice.
It was very, very entertaining.
He was in Only Murders.
In the Building. Same with Steve Martin. I was thinking that earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, and how it's funny because in Only Murders in the Building, there's like a part in it where Selena Gomez, I'm pretty certain, is like, that song is not about like a love song. It's a song written by a killer. And like, they try to pin it on Sting. But apparently it's actually not a love song. And it was more a song about like obsession and like wanting to control a situation, essentially. And it turns out that he didn't realize that that's what the song was kind of like. The song was that sort of one note until after. And so to kind of even it out, that's why he actually wrote the song, If You Love Somebody, Set Them Free. It's right. Like a kind of like an addition to that song to be like, okay, like maybe when you love someone so much, it becomes an obsession and you're only thinking about it in one way and how much you wish you were with them and you want to be with them. But you don't realize that loving that person means that you're allowed to let them live their life and set them free. So it's like two tokens of like heartbreak, I suppose, or loving someone and understanding how to love someone but not control them.
I understand what he was going for. If only he realized that when he wrote the song, because I'm guessing that a lot of people don't know that that's kind of like a sequel to the song.
Oh, I know. I feel like it was like just to make it like symmetrical. So it wasn't like, I don't think he ever originally intended for those two songs to be paired together. Yeah. I don't think he even realized originally what he had done with the first song.
Right.
But after realizing like, oh, okay, it's sort of, he switched it. He was just like, okay, maybe
to balance it out.
Let's write this song as well. So this song was actually massive and it was the biggest hit of 1983.
Wow.
Bigger than Billie Jean.
Whoa, really? Yeah.
So I think Billie Jean only was on the charts for 7 weeks and this outdid that.
Get out of here. Yeah. And Billie Jean is Billie Massive. Jean. Massive.
Billie Jean is Billie Jean. It's not my Very lover.
Interesting.
So it outdid it by 1 week, I think it was. But pretty incredible. Ghosting. And it was like, it definitely is their like, I think the go-to song people think of when they think of The Police.
Yeah, most definitely. And then there's like the, don't stand so close to me.
To be honest, I love all of their songs. Yeah,
me too. I love a lot of their songs.
To the world. Oh, such good songs.
Oh my god, so good. There's actually an episode of The Office where, do you know Kevin? He's like one of the accountants. He's a bit dim-witted.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, if I see his face.
He's in a band, but they only do Police songs.
I love that.
And he plays at Pam's wedding.
Aww.
Right, but the whole wedding is only, it's not Pam's wedding technically, it's Phyllis's wedding. But it's only Police songs and it's actually really good. Some hits. Ooh. Everything it does is magic. Everything turns me on.
We like, din, 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 din.
What about the one that's like, walking on the moon?
I love that song. I'm telling you, the Sting concert was so good. Every time he played a song, I was like, you have hit after hit, my friend. It was so damn good.
In 2005, We Belong Together by Mariah Carey was number one. We belong together. I don't know the words.
I like her.
I like her too.
Yeah.
She's great. She's probably got one of the best female voices ever. All time.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? I don't know why I've been on that side of TikTok recently where it's like shows a lot of Mariah Carey interviews from the past. And she really does call out it when someone else is being a diva. And I kind of love it.
Oh, really?
Like, for someone that's considered a diva when I was younger, I guess it was always perceived as if like Mariah Carey was a diva. But I actually quite like that she calls out other people, other artists when they're like being divas or when they're not like authentic. Like, there's this whole part, I love, like, don't get me wrong, I love Jennifer Lopez, but there's, like, this whole, like, interview where Mariah Carey's basically saying, like, she rips off other people's songs.
Right.
Not their songs, but she rips off their, she doesn't sing herself for most of her songs, and she, like, takes other people's vocals.
Wow.
I'm very curious to, like, deeper dive into that, because there's a part of me that believes it, and there's been so much proof of it, but then there's a part of me that's like, but I love J-Lo, so I just don't know.
Look, I love J-Lo, don't get me wrong. I love J-Lo, but I love her for her movies.
I like both.
I've never thought that J-Lo had like an amazing voice.
But I like the songs. I don't think about the voice. Yeah. I'm like, love don't cost a thing. Yeah, and Jenny from the Block. Like, so many. I was obsessed when I was younger. But I did have a J-Lo CD when I was in primary school. So I'm assuming. Right. Yeah, I'm assuming that's what makes me biased to the sound, perhaps. Nah. Nah, they were hits.
She had a lot of hits. She had a lot of hits. Even the one that she did with Pitbull. Yeah. It was like,
get on the floor.
That was
so good.
I'm not one like this. Get on the floor. I'm like riding a golf club as a horse.
Golf club. Rabbit your ball. Oh, yeah, because this looks like a golf club.
This was number one for 14 weeks.
14?
14 weeks.
I understand why. It's a great song.
It was known as Billboard's like number one hit of the 21st century.
Really?
Yes. It was that big. 14 weeks is a really long time. That's just over 3 months.
Yeah, when you put it that way.
You're constantly hearing this song on the radio. Could you imagine?
That is massive, actually.
The only song that's been able to match it, not beat it, but match it,
really?
Was I Got a Feeling by Black Eyed Peas.
I'm telling you, I Got a Feeling was so good.
Didn't like it.
Yeah, but you remember you told me you didn't like it because it was overplayed, and this just proves why it was overplayed, because it was so good. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, We Belong Together was, I remember hearing that for ages.
Yeah. The music video is basically like a sequel to her music video for It's Like That, because both feature Wentworth Miller.
Oh yes,
from Prison Break.
Ooh, Wentworth Miller. The Damn, name I Wentworth. Loved Prison Break.
Wentworth.
I quite like it.
Yeah, I don't mind it either.
It really, I remember seeing the name being like, it matches a prison. I understand.
Yes.
Like, I was like, that's a good casting choice based on names.
Isn't there an Australian TV show about prison called Wentworth?
Something like that.
Wentworth.
There's something like that. I just remember being like, this makes sense. Yes, yes. Like,
what we also like to do is to tell you who you share a birthday with. Woo, 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 woo. Hubba, hubba. All right. If you were born on the 13th of October, it's a nice birthday.
Why does that remind me of something? October 13th.
Are you thinking of Mean Girls, October 23rd?
Yes, maybe 23rd. Is it 23rd?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, what? I don't think it's October 23rd.
October, what is it?
Is it 3rd? 8th? No. I need to find out now. It's right.
Is it 15th?
October.
Is it October 3rd?
Mean Girls, October.
It's October 3rd, I think.
It's October 3rd.
Okay,
October 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you were born on October 13th, you share a birthday with Paul Simon.
Oh, if you'd be my buddy girl,
I'll be your long lost pal.
I can call you Betty.
Call me. 1941, he was born.
Really?
Meaning he's 82.
Yes.
Yes. I had to think about that for a second. Yeah, 82.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Paul Simon.
I know, what a sweetheart.
What a, like, insanely amazing career he's had.
And, I know.
Like, to be part of, like, Simon and Garfunkel, obviously, and the songs that came out of that is wow.
I know.
Wow. Some of, literally, Sound of Silence is, like, one of the best songs ever.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Yeah. Just amazing. I love Paul Simon for the fact that he likes to be on Saturday Night Live a lot.
Oh.
I've seen him on Saturday Night Live so many times, and he's actually pretty funny.
He seems like he's funny. Even if you just base it off Call Me Al video clip, right? Or music video. Why do I always call them video clips? Anyway, music
video clip.
I'm such an aged person. Music video. I feel like you can grasp the like type of humor he has.
Yep.
Based on just how that is orchestrated.
Is it because Chevy Chase is in the music
yeah,
video?
But even just like the way Paul Simon holds himself the whole way, yeah. It's like, I dig it.
All right, I think it's time to take a break, Elle. What do you say?
I would agree.
Okay, I'm glad you agree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad. All right, before we take a break, we're just going to ask you a few thanks.
Number one,
please support us on Patreon. Please follow us on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts.
Are you doing the Nigel Thornberry voice, but not Nigel Thornberry at all?
I think I'm going to use this voice every time now.
It reminds me of someone and I don't know who, and it's not David Attenborough, but it kind of is, but it kind of isn't. I'm going to figure out who.
Mm.
Oh, a bit of like Nigella, you know?
Ah, Nigella.
T is for Twinings. Yes.
T is for Twinings.
Yes, perhaps.
Yeah. You know what I think? I think of Parks and Rec. Have you seen Parks and Rec?
An episode here or there.
Okay.
I'm not going to know, am I?
You're
not okay.
But there's, anyway, the guy that plays Homer Simpson.
Oh, what?
Right? He has this random part in Parks and Rec where he has like a radio show.
Yeah.
And it's called Thoughts for Your Thoughts.
Well, if you guys like what you're listening to. you should rate us a 5 out of 5. It's very helpful. Yes. You just jump on Spotify while you're listening to us and just quickly just put the stars of the 5.
I also want to thank the one person that gave us a 5 out of 5 this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Yeehaw.
Woohoo.
Yeehaw.
All right, we're going to take that break. You know how I spoke in the intro about Cheaper by the Dozen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, being that it is a movie that I haven't watched since I lived with my parents,
yeah,
it just had me thinking about the days of living with my parents at home before everything went to shit.
Yes.
Basically.
To absolute crap.
Yes. Did it just get really hot in here all of a sudden?
But no, I kind of get what you're saying. I feel like I haven't lived with mum for... I moved out and then I moved back in and then I moved out again. But I feel like I can almost relate, but in the concept of when my dad moved out.
Right.
Like, I feel like there's definitely an era of my life where I felt like nostalgic towards the times where I lived with my mum and my sister and missing of that. And I definitely still do. But I feel it even more from the times post... No, from the times pre-divorce. Where my dad moved out and then it's like, oh, I'm never going to get those moments back ever again.
Yeah.
But yeah, tell me what your thoughts were.
I don't know. It just made me really sad. And I realized that I left my family home. So my parents divorced 9 years ago.
Mm.
So I moved out of my family home 9 years ago. And then I have also been living with my husband for 7 years.
Yeah.
So I've just realized, like, wow, it's actually quite a bit of time has gone by. And I feel like I didn't notice it for the first 7 years. But now I feel like lately it's been hitting me that part of my life is not only gone, it's long gone.
Yeah.
Long gone. Way in the past.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can do about it, obviously, because life goes on.
Mm.
But it's just an interesting concept, isn't it? How you spend the first how many years of your life living a certain way, and then because you are forced to move on with your life and move on to bigger and better things, and then that part of your life is just non-existent anymore.
It's nothing but a memory.
Yeah.
If you can remember it. Because I find that is the struggle for me. It's like sometimes I'm trying to grasp onto any little memory I have of those days.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. It is a really interesting concept to think about. Well, not even a concept, it's like life, like to look back.
Yeah. On. And it actually makes me really sad. I saw this quote mm-hmm. that I wanted to read. It's yeah. actually a poem. Unfortunately, I'm not sure who it's by.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see it on TikTok. And when I do a little bit more research after we record, I will put it in the episode description who it's by.
Yeah.
This actually made me cry.
Mm-hmm.
I've read this how many times? And every time I read it, I want to cry. And I actually read it to my husband earlier today as well. And we both felt it.
Yeah. I feel like it would apply to almost everyone if it's pretty much about everyone. What we just said. Yeah.
It's called Everyone is Home. You're 10 years old and everyone is home. Mum is cooking, dad is watching TV, and your siblings are doing their own thing, but everyone is home. You're laying in your childhood bedroom, dreaming of the day where you get to grow up and be on your own. You wanted to be older so badly that you forgot to take in the comfort of everyone being home. Now you're in your 20s and you wish you could go back. You and your siblings have all moved out. Your parents have aged and they're trying to get used to the term empty nesters.
Mm-hmm.
You start to notice their grey hair and wonder where all the time has gone. You realize that there will never be another day where you all live together again. Your siblings aren't just in the other room, they are somewhere else. Every now and then you will visit, but you will not stay. You will never play together again. You will not wake up and eat breakfast together every morning. And there will be no more family movie nights. You won't even see each other every day. I'm longing for the feeling of home, but I can't go back. My childhood home has been ripped down and pieces of it are scattered in all different places. Nobody is home.
The feels inside of me are like literally like puzzle pieces being broken right now. There's a few areas of that which got me. Even just the first line, like everybody's home, it's like, yeah, like I'm never home. Like yeah. I think about it from that perspective. I'm like, I literally am always out of the house because even in my new home that I'm in, I don't feel like it's my home.
You don't feel like yeah. you're at home.
Yeah. Even though I've lived there for like 2 to 3 years now, like I don't feel like I'm at home. And I have something I've struggled with over the last couple of years is not having my room. And even though I've had my own room in other like houses I've lived in, it's not my room, like yeah. that room meant so much to me. It's not that house, it's not that, and I will still stay at my mum's house, but it's my dad's not there, like there's yeah. so it's never going to be like it was in that moment. And like that whole verse around like laying in your bed and daydreaming, that is all I did as a child.
Yeah.
And like laying in my room at night and just thinking about like what my life is going to be like and how I'm going to live in my house and how I'm going to treat my children, how I'm going to be in my new my family, or what it's going to be like in my 20s. It never included my family.
Yeah.
Like it did obviously, but it never included them. Like I never realized what that meant to me back then.
I think it's because you didn't know that what you were going through at the time would change.
Yeah.
You didn't know that everything that happened with your parents will happen.
Yeah.
And that your home life that you're living now, you just assume it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
Whereas all of a sudden one day it's kind of ripped out from underneath you.
Yeah, literally.
And your idea of home doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. It's crazy how we're constantly like, especially when you're growing up, it takes something really like intense to happen sometimes for you to realize like, holy shit, even when I think I'm living in the present moment, I'm not.
Yeah.
Like even though I think I'm being grateful for the things around me, I'm not. And like, I think this is one of those reminders that like, hey, even when I thought that in my childhood, I was being super present and I love those memories in that moment, I didn't think of them as like most amazing memories of my life. I look at them now as that, but it's taken something so intense to happen in my family life for me to look at it in that way. It's even just the siblings being separated part, like I you don't realize how much a fucking sibling means to you until you don't live with them anymore.
See, that part was the part that actually really got me, because I grew up so tightly with my brothers. And I'm gonna give you an example right now. I haven't spoken to my older brother in about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't spoken to my younger brother in a few days. And even that interaction was just over text.
Yeah.
And it was, hey, can you book these movie tickets for me? And I'm still very close to both of them. That's the thing. Yeah,
you're very close with both of them.
And that is the relationship that we've got because my older brother has a kid. I've got a kid. My younger brother's working. We've all got these lives that we're living. It's to the point where we speak to each other maybe once a week. One thing that I really want to hold on to, and I feel like a desperate need inside me to hold on to, is hanging out with my brothers and being able to hang out with them. And I find that really difficult. And then the idea of, you know, when it's said in the quote as well, you look at your parents and they're a bit grayer.
Mm.
You don't realize how old they've gotten. It really freaks me out how much my dad has aged. Like, that actually really freaks me out. And he's gotten so gray, and I swear every day he tells me something hurts. Like, it's just, it really freaks me out. I can't say the same with my mum because a lot of our viewers will know that I don't have a relationship with my mum, and I might delve into it a little bit in this episode, but there's also that.
Yeah.
There's also the fact that I think about my home when I was a kid and my mum was there.
Mm.
And I have a really hard time dealing with the fact that my mum isn't around. I think about her every day. I wonder what she's doing. Sometimes I feel a desperate need to talk to her, but I know it's not her that I want to talk to. It's the mum that I had as a kid that I want to talk to. And I find that it really fucking sucks. If anyone out there knows what it's like to not talk to a parent anymore, it's basically grieving. But they're alive and they're out there.
I feel like it would really suck, dude. Like, I think it's really, the way you articulated that is, I think, something that a lot of people would feel but not know how to put into words for someone that doesn't understand what they're going through. And I think you really articulated that very well.
Thank you.
And I can only, like, I'm very fortunate that I still have a relationship with both my parents, even regardless of what circumstances have happened. But I can't even picture what that feels like to not only like love a parent and know that you want to have a relationship with them to some capacity, but also know that you just can't. And it's not possible, not only because of the situation, but because you know that for your own health, it just can't be done.
Yeah.
Something I feel like is just not like spoken about enough is like, I don't think any kid wants that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think from the child perspective that they go out as an adult and they intentionally want to not speak to their parent anymore. Or they intentionally, like, and for people who are listening that have not experienced something like that, have not experienced, like, being let down by a parent, for example, it is not that child's choice to get back in contact with that parent. It is not that child's, like, I don't think that child intentionally wanted to not speak to that parent. It took a lot of fucking struggle and pain to get to that point. And if you have a friend that is in that situation and you're telling them like, oh, why don't you reach out to your mom? Why don't you like see how things go? Like, why don't you talk to them? Like, a lot of the times that's not helpful because it's not a possibility. It's not as simple as that. Mm.
That what you just said there is the key. It's not as simple as it sounds just pick up the phone and just ring my mom.
It really isn't.
Because, and it's exactly like you said, it wasn't that I just woke up one day and thought, you know what? I'm not going to talk to my mom anymore. I don't think we need a relationship. It wasn't that at all. It took a couple years of a lot of hardship and a lot of things that happened growing up that led to not have that relationship with her. And we've all done our part on attempting to start a relationship again. And it ends up the same thing each time. The same thing happens. And we all end up at square one again.
Yeah.
I have a quote to go with this situation as well.
Yeah.
I actually have quite a few quotes I want to share today. One thing that hasn't happened to me yet, but it scares the shit out of me.
Mm.
And when I realize that this could potentially happen to me one day, the quote is, "Now I have to remember you for longer than what I have known you."
Ugh.
I can't believe, and look, never say never, right? You can't say it's definitely not going to happen, especially when that person is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that I'll never have a relationship with my mum again. but if things remain the same, I know I won't. And there's going to be a point in my life that I have lived longer without my mum in my life than what I than what she was in my life. And I'm really scared that of the day that I wake up and I realize that.
Yeah.
Like I'll be in my 40s and I'll realize, "Oh my God, majority of my life now I've spent without my mom."
Yeah, not knowing who she is anymore.
Not knowing her at all.
And I think it's also the other way around as well. There's going to be a time in her life where she maybe wakes up and realizes she's spent less time with you in your life than your partner.
Yeah, that's fucking weird.
Like, there's a time where she's going to wake up and potentially realize, like, she's been married with this partner or with this man or with her own children longer than I ever was with my own.
I know there's a lot of people out there that go through that, but because their parents passed away.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine what that's like. But it's a whole different experience when you're going through the same grieving process.
Yeah.
The steps of grieving. And this is what my therapist told me. I'm actually going through the steps of grieving this person. The only thing is that she's alive.
Yeah. It's quite, like, obviously very different as well because it's a parenting relationship we're talking about here. But I think that quote can sort of apply to a breakup as well or to like an unrequited love, like when you've had a relationship with a friend even or a partner from the past or a romantic person and that ends and you no longer are in contact with that person anymore. And then I think there's a lot of people that can relate to that as well where they realize, like, holy shit, like that person I considered my best friend, whether that was in a romantic way or as a friend, is no longer, there's been more of my life I've lived not knowing who they are anymore.
Yeah, that's so
and still weird. But there's so many people, like myself included, like a love I had when I was like 15. Mm-hmm. It's gotten to that point almost that it's almost, oh my God, been, yeah,
it was, and like half of your life ago.
Yeah, and yet the only memory I have to go off of is the memory of who that person was then.
Yeah.
And that's the, and like you said, I think what you said earlier about, like, you sometimes want to reach out to someone, but you want that version of who you want it to reach out to. And that person doesn't exist. And that's fucking terrifying when you think about how much you adored and admired that person, whether it was anyone in your life, to realize, like, sometimes someone only exists in your memory at that point in life, in time, even if they're alive. It's heavy stuff.
It is heavy shit, and it's funny that I can't get in the car. There was, before I even say that, there was one time where I was driving to my local supermarket, and I actually drove past my mum.
Oh.
And I actually had to give way to her at the roundabout, but she didn't know it was me.
Oh.
And it was interesting because she doesn't usually, I know where she lives, she doesn't, my local supermarket is not her local supermarket.
Yeah, there was no reason.
So it was really interesting that she was there. And ever since then, every time I go to my supermarket, I look around to see if I'm going to see her.
Yeah.
And I go there, what, 3-4 times a week? I am on the lookout to see if I'm going to see her. And there's a part of me that wants to run into her.
And that's only natural and normal, man.
And there's a part of me that wants to run into her with my son.
Yeah.
Because she's never met him.
Yeah.
It's actually insane.
But it's only normal for you to feel that way. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not a choice. It's not as simple as, like, oh, like, because I want to, I should message that person, or else because I'm bumping, like, you still have the desire to interact with that person. And this is the same as, like, not being able to speak to someone you once loved, right?
Mm.
It's like, you might still have that exact love for that person. You might still, like, I think every child that's in this situation still has this part deep down that would like to interact with that person and get them to see what their life has turned out to be like. But it's not as simple as letting that person in, because once you let that person in, if it's a situation where it is too dangerous to some degree to let them in,
yeah,
like, you suffer going through that whole process all over again, and the grieving process of having to let go of that person all over again. Mm. I know too many friends of mine and you as well that have had to let go of that relationship with a parent, and not because they wanted to, but because they just, there's no other option sometimes. There really is no other option. And I've watched too many people tell each one of those friends and yourself that it's up to you to make amends in that situation. And that boils my blood. It actually boils my blood, because it is not up, like, I'm sorry, but if a parent has made the conscious choice to be in a position where their child would rather not have a family of their own, or like not have a family that they initially had, or to be homeless, or to, they'd rather be out on the street than be in a home with you, I don't think, and you're fine with that, and you're fine with them like not having that relationship with you, that's on you as a parent to make amends and to work on something, because clearly you're not seeing something within yourself that you are, or reflecting enough to realize, like, holy shit, what have I been putting on to my child? Mm. What have I been putting them through?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think it would make them kind of reassess what they're doing for, yeah, to make their kids react that way.
Yeah, because I don't think it's a natural instinct whatsoever for a child to do that.
No.
No.
Oh, my God. If you told me, Elle, when I was about 15, 18. Yeah. Oh, my God, because everything happened when I was 19.
Yeah.
If you had told me when I was 18 what my life would be, I would have told you to go get fucked.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. Actually, I'm trying to imagine ourselves when we were in high school. If I had said, oh, this is what's going to happen to you in the next 5 years. I'm from the future. Ha ha.
Yeah, yeah, ha ha.
You would have literally just been like, what the fuck? Get out of my room.
Get out.
Yeah.
What the hell was this butt kiss that you're coming up with?
Yeah.
Because that sounds like it's full of shit.
Oh, dude, same with me. If my 14-year-old self came up and was like, you know what's going to happen next year? Yeah. I would have been like, you're ridiculous. Stop, stop. I've already got enough anxiety. Why are you doing this to me?
What the hell?
And then, wait, let's see. Like, boom.
Boom. Boom. Life destroyed upside down for a period of time. Let me read you some more quotes.
Oh, please.
Again, this is a lot of the quotes I'm going to read are about divorced parents, because that was the mood I was in today.
Okay. Hey, it's the mood I'm in every day.
Yes.
My life.
I have my mother's mouth and my father's eyes on my face. They are still together.
Stop. That's literally something that I would get tattooed, because it makes me feel, it's like literally how I feel every day. Like, I look for little small insignificant things that can mean that they, like, that it still makes me feel like there's
like they're in the same
unity
room.
Somewhere.
There's,
yeah,
unity.
Oh.
One thing that impresses me about my parents, and I don't understand how or why, is that they have always had their issues, and they've always, I'm not going to go into it, but there's another number of times where we'd spend a weekend at my grandparents' house because my mom left my dad and blah, blah, blah. It happened like every year, every 2 years, like, blah.
Yeah.
But every time they were separated, they would still talk. It was very odd. So even though all this stuff has happened, I know for a fact that my parents still talk occasionally, because my mom will ring my dad and be like, what's going on with the kids? Just update me on big things.
I find that interesting, because another friend I have that has a similar situation, even though none of the children speak to one of the parents, the other parent still speaks to that parent just for that reason,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It's that bond of being able to say, well, I'm the parent that is part of these kids' lives, and as a good parent, I know that I need to be strong enough to be able to communicate with you for them to,
yeah,
some extent.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fucking big, big, big thing of that parent to be able to do. Big of your dad to be able to do.
My dad is a superhero.
Yeah.
There are sometimes, like, and I've said this to you before, but sometimes I look at my dad and I see, like, I can actually see angel wings.
Mm.
He's like my guardian angel. He is, like, the best thing ever. He saves me in all of these situations, even the smallest situations. Like, if I'm having a very stressed out day, and I know my husband can't leave work, but my dad can because he's the boss.
Mm-hmm.
So I call my dad and I'm like, Dad, this is how I'm feeling today. He will like be there in 5 minutes, even if he has to leave from the city. And it will take him 45 minutes to get here. He gets here in five.
Yeah.
And he just literally saves me from so many situations. Sometimes I watch him leave my house after he's done something to help me and I can actually see wings on him. He is just, he's my angel. I know that. He's here on this earth to be my guardian angel. He's just the best dad ever.
He's a really sweet man. I feel like, I think we've spoken about it a lot of times on the podcast, but like the relationship between at least us with our fathers or a lot of girls I know with their dads, when it is lucky enough to be a good relationship, it really can be such a special bond. And not always in like a guardian angel sort of way, but just as like a someone you can go to without judgment sometimes. Yeah. At least that's how I feel with my dad. I think like I'm very fortunate to have a relationship with my dad where there is nothing I think I could go to him and say and he will make me feel crap about myself for it. And even if he at first says something that seems slightly like, oh, Elle, like you shouldn't have done that, or why did you do that? Or me and my dad talk to each other like we're literally two drunk people at a bar, even though we don't drink. But like he'd be like, why did you do that, you fucking dickhead? Like, he'll speak to me like that. And it's not, and then, but like 2 seconds later, he'll be like, it's okay. Like, let's, like, I see why you did it. He always takes the time to understand and figure out why I've made the choices I've made. And when I tell him why, he looks at me and makes me feel so full of fucking life. Like, he looks at me and he's like, I can't believe, like, you're a genius. Like, he makes me feel like my ideas are fucking valid and makes me feel like, oh, fuck, I actually love my dad so much. Like, me too. It makes me feel as though, like, everything that goes on in my head is normal and it's, like, okay and it's not too much and it's not anything I should ever be ashamed of. And especially when you've grown up as someone where maybe society has made you feel that way, or maybe your other parent has made you feel that way, or partners in the past or friends in the past. Like, to have my dad be that person in my life to build me up and to remind me that, like, hey, you're wonderful the way you are is the reason why I'm able to be who I am right now. Like, he literally installed so much confidence in me, even when I didn't realize I had it. And, like, I realized that when I'm talking to myself and I'm building myself up with words I've heard him say to me. It's just actually a really beautiful bond to have with someone. And don't get me wrong, like, it's, and obviously my parents are divorced too, and it's a very touchy subject for both of us, that subject, and it is something one day we'll probably explain when we feel comfortable enough to. But like, in my situation, like, if I was to not speak to a parent, you would think that it would be my dad. And I think that's something a lot of people don't notice, like, when their parents are going through a divorce, is like that their parents are people too, and like, they're going to make mistakes. And I think the defining factor of whether you can speak to that person afterwards and you can forgive that parent for the mistake they've made is how they choose to act after that mistake.
Yeah.
I think with anything anyone does, it's like the choices they choose to make and the person they choose to become after they've made the biggest mistake of their life, or they've made those small mistakes, is going to show more of their character than what that mistake was.
Yeah.
And like, I've chosen to forgive my dad and to go on the path of still creating a very even more special bond with him after the fact. But if it was to have gone the other way, and if he was to have not shown me that side of him, like, I don't know how I would cope.
Yeah.
And I really feel like, I hate that I get to feel so grateful for the situation I have, while people so close to me, like yourself and like one of my best friends, don't get to see that side of their parent rectify their choices. Because I know how beautiful those people are, those, like, my friend and you. Like, I know how deserving you are of also having that person do that for you in your life. And that person be a true role model and show you what it means to make a mistake, but be okay with making a mistake and being okay with moving on with life in a way where they're not victimizing themselves. Because it just puts so much pressure back on that fucking child. So much pressure back on the child. So much blame back on that child. And even me, in my situation, I feel blame. So I can't even picture what it feels like to be on the other end of that situation. And also have the parent sort of put that blame on you as well. The parent-child scenario is actually when you've gone through something as like intense as we have in our life, I suppose. It can be there's a reason why we talk about it in every episode, clearly.
It's clearly something that we haven't gotten over.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm ever going to.
No, I don't think there's ever any pressure to either. No. Like, why should I? Like we said before, that was our home. And, like, we're never going to have our home back. We essentially went through, like, our whole life was flipped upside down.
Yeah.
At a very detrimental age.
That's what it is. It's the age.
Mm.
I've actually, thinking about it, it's hard because I've had my parents split up at so many different ages.
Mm.
And 19 is when it happened the final time. And sometimes I wish it happened when I was younger. So I didn't understand. Mm. So I wasn't a part of it. Like how we were.
Yeah.
It's really, but then again, there's a lot of hard things that come with it happening when you're a kid as well. The fact that you don't understand.
Yeah. It's like,
it's probably just as hard.
Yeah. There's always like there's a saying for that, but like, it's yeah. like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't sort of situation.
It's exactly.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. But I find it funny thinking about how one day, you and I are going to be like in our 80s.
Mm.
And are we still going to be crying over our parents' divorce when we're 80?
That's funny you say that because me and my friend sit at Pancake Parlor and cry. But yeah. like about these exact topics, right? And I was like talking to her about it the other day. And as we were leaving to go in the car, she was like to me, Elle, are we ever going to stop doing this? Like are we ever just going to not care about this anymore? And I was like, I don't know. But like, you know what? Like right now I do.
Yeah.
And it's okay that I do now. And it's okay that I have for the last like 10 years. And it's okay that if the next 10 years happens that we do that. But thinking about being 80 and still doing it, I feel like we will, but it will be in more of a lighthearted way, hopefully.
See, that's a tough one. Because I think, if you want my humble opinion, I think we will.
Yeah.
And not just in a lighthearted way. I think it will be in a trauma reaction way.
Mm.
Because.
Yeah, give me a reason, yeah.
Because we were kids. And nothing is as influential in your life is when things happen to you when you're a kid.
You make a very good point because if I think about, I think we spoke about this in last week's episode, but talking to our grandparents. And, like, when we do get conversations with them that connect and listening to their stories. And one story that I remember my grandma telling me, it was very much about her. Even today I saw her and she was telling me a story about when she was a kid.
Yeah.
And, like, she talks about them as if they were just yesterday.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I agree with you. I think it will be.
My grandmother is, are you talking about?
Yeah, same grandma.
Same family?
Yes.
So,
sister with my grandma.
My grandmother is sisters with Elle's grandmother, and my grandmother often tells me stories about their dad.
Mm.
And my Yaya tells me that there's not a day that goes by where she doesn't think about her dad and she doesn't get emotional about her dad being gone.
Mm.
And how much she misses her dad. And it's like, well, shit.
Yeah.
Well, shit.
And you know what's crazy? That's someone that came and lived in a whole other country for so many years of her life away from her dad.
Yeah.
That wasn't able to see her dad for so many years.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, well, I don't want, this is going to sound very dire, but like, we're fucking doomed, Elle. We're going to be crying about this shit forever.
You know what? And this might be like the little saddest in me or like a sadistic part of me, right?
Yeah.
But like, I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either. I don't, obviously I wish things were different.
Oh, yes. I wish my life, like it was that part of my life. Although, okay, yeah, I do wish it was different. I wish things worked out very differently.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I feel like I've learned so much from this situation in my life, and like have been able to connect with people so much because of this situation and learn about myself on a whole different level and learn about my parents in a way I never would have learned about them otherwise because of this situation. And every time I sit and have one of these conversations with someone, or even by myself having my little cry, even if it feels like it's filled with trauma and it feels like it's like it actually is just full on pain as if it was the day it happened, it still feels like this release of just growth. Like, it still feels like this is forever something I'm going to learn from. This is forever something that I'm going to be able to feel as a way of me realizing what it is to realize how big the ups and downs of life can be, and to remind me of like how much I can overcome. Because when I think about what I had to overcome when I was bloody 16 years old, what I had to overcome when I was just turned 16 years old was more than I think majority of, and obviously I haven't told anyone the story, so it's hard for you guys to understand this, but when I say like, and I know for you as well, like having to go through something as intense as I did at such a intense age as it was.
That's a fucked up age for it to happen.
Yeah, literally on my 16th birthday. like is, I think I've explained this to someone else before as like, you know when you watch a movie and you think that it's just like when you're a kid, you watch a movie and you see a plot line and you're like, oh yeah, that's so scary. That would be so sad if that happened. But that doesn't happen to people in real life. Like, that's not what actually happens to people. It's just a story. It's just in a movie.
Yeah.
Those situations kept happening to me after that age. Like, those like movie scenarios are what happened in my life, in my real life. And once that happens in your real life, you don't see them as movie stories anymore.
No, they're real life stories.
They're real life stories. They're your actual stories. Life. And they, how the hell did that happen in my life?
I don't know.
I look at my life sometimes and I'm like, how the hell did that happen?
You could write a book.
Yeah, like a lot of people could, right? Yeah. Like, because I know that there's some people that those things haven't happened to them, but they are, for them, that to be in a movie and that scenario that played out in a movie because it probably happened to someone.
It probably happens.
And someone that you probably went to school with, it probably happened to them. Because I know so many people that had no clue what happened.
We're those people.
That's what I mean. Like, for me, that I am that person. But you know how many people that I've met throughout my life that didn't know that that's happened to me? And, like, they were just like, whoa, how did you go through that at school? Is that why you look like that when you go into school? And I'm like, yes, that's why I look like that. That's why I look like I was puffy-eyed and crying every single day at school and I didn't talk to anyone. Because, you know what? Like, my whole fucking world was crumbling and I couldn't do anything about it. And add that with a bit of mental health issues and call yourself a day. That's literally my life. I don't know. I feel like, once something like that happens to you, it's very, very hard to ever see the world in the same way.
Yeah.
And to ever feel like it makes it very easy. And I think one thing that I've really fucking struggled with is since that day to realize that it's okay, that like things will be okay, because nothing ever feels like it is fully fulfilled anymore because that family home dynamic is gone.
Yeah.
And I've really struggled with that. That, like, I think that's what hit me when you first read out that first poem. Like, it's never going to be home. And that feeling of home is that same feeling I have of fulfillment and pure joy of life. And it feels like at some point in my life when a major circumstance happened, I'm unintentionally told myself that there was no allowance for joy anymore to the fullest extent.
Yeah.
Because how could I be any moment in my life? I literally remember having a conversation with myself like, well, when you get married, it's not going to be that exciting because like your parents probably won't even want to be in the same room. When you like little small things, like me getting my license was not an exciting experience on the actual day, was definitely not.
Yeah.
But like, the whole idea of it was not exciting either because I knew that everything I had ever envisioned for the rest of my life was never going to work out exactly how I had envisioned it.
Yeah.
And that's something that's been really hard for me to get a grip on. And it's only something I've been able to work through the last like maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
I get exactly what you mean, and I've had to live through some of these really big experiences without my mom. And with each thing, I dealt with it differently. Like, first, I want to talk about my engagement. My engagement was actually not hard to not focus on my mom not being there, because my engagement happened just as my grandfather passed away. So that was the focus.
Yeah.
Which totally
different. It really was. I actually cried majority of that night.
Yeah.
For that reason. Yeah.
Totally different circumstance. My wedding now. So I didn't have my mom at my wedding, but she gave my dad to give to me. Look, at Greek weddings, you wear these like little trinkets on your wrist. The bride wears these little trinkets, and they're from like all the special people in your life. And it could be like a love heart, and you wear it on ribbon, and it's, or a cross, and you wear it on your wrist as you're getting married. So my mum gave to my dad to give to me. It was a little carriage that a princess would go around in, because my mum and dad have always called me princess.
Yeah.
My dad to this day, still, I'm nearly 30 princess. Years old, he'll still be like, hey, princess.
He's like, princess and L. And I'm like, oh, which one are you talking to?
You know what? Side note, this is the sad thing about still being called princess, okay? It's a funny story. I have a niece. My older brother has a daughter who is my dad's only granddaughter.
And is identical to Elle, let's be honest.
I mean, like, she also looks a lot like me, which is really funny. But not funny, but she's really cute. But anyway, my dad also calls her princess. So when me and my niece are in a room together and my dad's like, princess, we're both like, yes!
I'm just imagining your giant eyes popping up.
Yes, dad! And she's like, yes, papa! I just find it really funny that I'm really 30 and me and a 5-year-old are like, yes.
But which one was he talking to most of the time?
It's always my niece. It's never me. Aww. When we're in the same room, forget about his princess, the original one.
Aww.
It's the other one. Anyway, and then when my dad gave it to me the morning of my wedding to wear, I bawled. I cried a lot, and I cried most of the way in the car on the way to church that mum wasn't there, and I was actually on the phone to her. And I was crying and crying and crying the whole way to church. And I think that's why when I got to church and I saw George, I think that's why I just cried the whole way down the aisle, because I spent the whole car ride crying about my mum not being there and being on the phone to her, being so sad that she's not there. And then I saw George, and I was so happy when I got to see his face very quickly through the window that I was a mess when I got married.
You didn't look like one, though. That makeup that you did yourself, may I say, fucking lasted like spick and span. But
yeah. Thank you.
It was a very emotional day.
It was very emotional. And then that's it. I didn't dwell on it much more the rest of the day because I was excited. I just married my soulmate, so.
Yeah.
It didn't matter, but I thought it was really sweet. Another side note was that the driver of the car that I had came up to me when he dropped me off at the reception. When he dropped me off at the reception, pulled me aside and he was like, I need to say, he goes, you made me very emotional on the drive to the church. He goes, you didn't know it, but I was actually crying with you.
Aww.
And he goes, you remind me of my daughter. And he goes, I'm so sorry that.
That
is how you felt on your wedding day. And I just started crying and I gave him the biggest hug. What a sweet man.
Yeah.
My goodness.
That's so beautiful.
What a sweet man. He was like, you're like my daughter. I don't know. I feel connected to you. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you.
That's really, really beautiful.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. It was. And then finding out that I'm having a baby, going through pregnancy, having my child, raising my child, has been a daily reminder that I don't have my mum around.
Yeah.
I cry about it to this day, that if I don't know what I'm doing or I feel overwhelmed and I just want someone to come and help me for 5 seconds, but everyone around me is busy, I sit around and I cry over the fact that my mum's not there for me to call and just keep me company. really drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting, that concept, right? When you're crying about something else, but then you realize you're crying about that parent.
Yeah.
Because I have those moments too, like, I could be crying about something that's, like, completely trivial, to do with work or to do with, like, just life in that period of time. And within, like, 7 minutes of those tears, it's me, crying, being like, I just want my dad to be back in my house. I just want my dad to talk to me or, like, spend time with me. And I realize that, like, I still have that opportunity to do that, but he has a whole other family to do that with. And so it's not as simple as me calling him and just being like, hey, like just come back to my house. Like,
yes, just come back, please.
And I there's probably people listening to this being like, oh, stop crying about your parents' divorce. Like, there's definitely people like that. Your parents
are still together.
Yeah. Yeah, your parents are still together, yes. Or your parents are either still together or, like, yeah, you might be looking at this situation in a very different way. You might have had a very different situation pan out for your parents' divorce, right?
Or your parents are still together.
Yes, or your parents are still together. But, like, because I think about what I used to say to, like, one of my best friends. Her parents got divorced when she was much younger. And she would be so aggravated at her stepmom, right? We weren't even allowed to call her stepmom, right? We're just like, that lady. Yes, and so
I remember.
Yes. And so, and I, before my parents got divorced, would talk to her and be like, you need to calm down. Like, you need to just talk to her. Just talk to her. Make a conversation with her. Like, blah, blah, blah. And I would feel sorry for this woman. Every time I'd go to their house, I would feel sorry for this woman. And granted, she's allowed to be, I did feel sorry for her because I still feel sorry for her, right? Because I'm like, no one deserves to be treated like that. And I understand, like, that how that woman would have been feeling with, like, these stepkids treating her in a certain way, or and her own kids feeling a certain way. But yeah, I would tell this friend, like, you're making a big deal out of nothing. Like, she's not that mean. She's not doing this. Like, relax. Like, you, like, kind of just kind of muting her feelings, right? And it wasn't until my parents got divorced and my dad dated someone else that I fucking understood every single thing she said to me.
Yeah.
Every little word that she had ever said to me, every little time she didn't want me to say the name of that person, or any time she didn't like when someone else would refer to her as this, I understood every little moment of it. And I remember apologizing to her and being like, what the fuck? How could you have let me speak to you like that? Because if someone spoke to me like that, I would tell them where to go.
Yeah.
And that's something to keep in mind. Like, if you, like, don't minimize someone else's experience.
Yeah.
Because, especially when you haven't gone through it yourself, but even if you have gone through it yourself, not everyone's going to cope with everything in the exact same way. And so, just because you might have gotten over it, or your sibling might have gotten over it, or just because it never was phased you to begin with and you just were expecting it anyway, doesn't mean that the other person was expecting it too, and doesn't mean that the other person is, like, is not struggling and is not coping, because, like people deal with things in different ways, and that situation, it fucking hurts.
Yeah.
It really hurts. And, like, yes, when you're a teenager, you don't want to, you're acting like a little shit to everyone around you because no one's giving you the time of day. If I'm going to be dead honest, when your parents are divorced and you're a kid, majority of the time, and this is not for everyone, this is not everyone's situation, but majority of the situations I've heard and I've experienced myself is that those kids' emotions do not get recognized by any adult in that situation. Nah. They focus on the parents.
On the parents.
The parents and the situation and the gossip around the situation. And any adult, like, that's external to the situation that should be kind of there to, like, help the parents kind of help the children survive in that period of time. Because not only is a parent going through a really public kind of fucking breakup, but they're also, like, struggling emotionally themselves and emotionally trying to manage children, if not multiple children, that are, like, also emotionally struggling. And the adults in that situation, they don't make it easy. They don't tend to think about how much pain that kid is going through. And unfortunately, another person that enters that relationship for one of the parents, like a stepmom, for example, in the situation of my friend, it's not direct. That anger, that frustration that teenager is feeling is not directed at that person. Yeah. Like, even though it is physically said to that person, it's not about that person sometimes. It is about the fact that, hey, no one's listening to me. My parent has bypassed my emotion and is going straight to this random person's emotion. Mm. And this random, and putting their, taking their time to focus on connecting with this random person rather than the person that they fucking raised and what they've, how they've traumatized their child. Mm. Whether that was intentional or not. And I think that's where the misunderstanding with that whole, like, evil stepmother situation is.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time it's not even what that person's doing, and sometimes it really is, but some a lot of the time it's not even what that person's doing. It's like, think about how much that kid has just undergone before you've entered. And it doesn't matter if it's been 3 years before you've ended up in a relationship with that person. It's like, or it's been 10 years or it's been 15 years. It's still hard. No matter what, it is still hard for you as a child to witness someone else make a new family with your family member. I think it's even hard with a, like, if it's not a divorce, if watching a sibling getting into a relationship is also very difficult, I reckon. Would you say, like, not that it obviously there's beautiful sibling relationships, it's amazing, but like we said earlier, like, when your brother, because your brother was the first one to move out of home, or were you the first one to move out of home?
I got with my husband before my brother got with his wife, but Jono moved out of home first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even, but that moving out of home for him starting his new family, it's hard on you because yeah. you're like realizing like, oh, there's an emptiness in this house.
That, you know what the hard thing was? It was circumstantial because Jono moved out as a result of my parents splitting.
Mm.
So it was like, it was just another tick to the time bomb.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It was just, I haven't experienced it on a normal level to be able to answer you that in a normal situation, whatever normal is.
Yeah.
You know.
But if you can imagine yourself removing yourself, it's still sort of this, like, I'm picturing what my sister said to me after I moved out to live with a friend the first time. And she was sort of like, saying, like, she's like, it's just quiet.
Yeah.
Like, it's too quiet.
Yeah.
And I feel like even if you don't realize that you're missing someone in that moment, like, it's still like an uncomfortable silence that a sibling has without the other. You yeah. know what I mean?
Siblings are... I love my siblings. They, I mean, like, they drive me crazy, but I really, really love my siblings. I'm very lucky.
Yeah, they're beautiful people.
I wanted to make a note about what we're talking about before and how basically can you enjoy life's moments because of what's happened?
Mm-hmm.
And there's one thing that I want to say is very healing to this, and it's having my son. There's these special moments throughout the week that I think to myself, I'm so happy that my child is in his comfort, happy space with his parents. And it's always for some reason, it's always when he's fresh out of the bath.
Aww.
And his hair's wet and he's in his pajamas and it's nighttime. So we've just got like the dimmed lights on and it's a very comfortable situation. He's chilling on the rug. He's got his toys. He's playing. Sometimes I just watch him and I can feel how happy and comfortable he is. And I remember that feeling that I had once. And it's actually healing that I am providing that space for my child.
That's really beautiful.
He feels 100% at home.
Wow. Well, you know what's scary? I just realized as well, like, that poem you said, right? From the, like, one day we're going to be the ones that are trying to cope with, like...
emptiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, it's going to happen in a whole different reverse way. Yeah. Wow.
And the one thing that we don't have the same problem on, the home that I have created feels 100% like home for me. Yeah. My home feels like my home.
Yeah, it feels like your house, your, like, space.
It's my space. I'm comfortable here. I'm happy here. Happy things happen here. And I, when I'm home and I'm with my family that I've created, it's like, oh, it actually gives me that feeling.
Did you find that you felt that before you had your son, or do you think that that's happened more so after?
It took a long time.
Yeah.
To get that comfort. But it was before my son.
Okay. Because I feel like, another question. Do you think, because this is something I genuinely struggle with, so I'm asking you just because I want to understand why I'm not feeling this way. Do you think because you had moved houses so many times as a child, that has to do with why you've been able to, this is more like a stable, like it's been able to feel like home because you've been able to let go of past houses?
I'm going to say yes. I think I'm going to say 100% yes. The house that I'm at now, so even though I've owned this home for that long, I technically haven't lived in it for a very long time.
It's interesting as well, like, even though I've moved out, like, I moved out with friends and then I've moved out again, like, neither house that I've lived outside of my family home, which my mum still lives in with my sister, has felt like home to me. Pa, my grandparents' house. Pa, is pa the right word? I don't know. Aside.
Pa?
I don't even know. I don't know why it was like golf terms. I don't know. But aside from golf my grandparents.
That's not pa. Oh, it is pa. Yeah.
But I feel like aside from my grandparents' houses, and one thing I've noticed about my grandparents' houses is that like they're the only spaces where I could go at any time of the day, could go visit them at any time of the day, and as soon as I sit on the couch, as soon as I smell the smells,
you're at home.
I could fall asleep like that.
Yep.
Fall asleep like that because of the comfort.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. My grandmother's house is the same.
Yeah.
I love that house.
Mm.
You spent so much time at your grandparents' house. I spent so much time with my grandparents. I have a quote that I want to send us home with.
Mm-hmm.
You'll crave lemonade, but the taste doesn't satisfy you as much as it used to. You still crave summer, but sometimes you mean summer 5 years ago.
Whoa.
That is by Alida Nugent. Nugent? N-U-G-E-N-T.
Oh, no clue. Wow, that summer 5 years ago, though, I feel that bad.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like there's definitely feeling like cravings of like a scent or like a time and the sunlight hitting you in a certain way in summertime of certain moments in your life or certain years that you just want to get back.
Yeah.
Like, and I haven't felt that feeling of that craving or the desire for that type of summer or haven't experienced that type of summer for a very long time.
Yeah.
And probably like 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago. So it is nice. It's like, no, I don't feel like summer, like the usual summer. I feel like that summer.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought that was very interesting. And I get what you mean by certain smells.
Mm.
A lot of the time as the weather gets nicer and spring starts to bloom and the flowers in the streets are starting to bloom. When I open my window to get some fresh air in the house, me and my son, because I've taught him to do this as well, we'll stand at the window and we'll just go... breathe in the smell because that smell reminds me of walking into school.
Oh, I love the
summer.
Yeah, I love summer. That feeling.
And it's near school holidays and you've only got like 2 weeks left of school and you can feel the end coming and it's like warm outside and you can smell the beautiful smell.
Yes, and you walk into a classroom and it smells a little bit like tinsel because it's like Christmas decorations up.
Love that smell.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started about the smell of my Christmas tree.
I know.
Don't even get me started.
Do you know what got me today? And we'll wrap the episode up soon because we're getting so off track. But today I actually had a little teardrop in David Jones because they had the glasshouse candles and at the moment they've got Barbie glasshouse candles.
Oh.
And I smelt it. It both smelt like a lip smacker and my Barbie dollhouse.
Oh, wow.
Right? So I'm not a massive fan of lip smacker. They made me nauseous. But
it took you straight back to those moments where it did used to make you nauseous.
Yeah, it took me back to that and took me back to playing with my Barbie house at my Yaya's house and the box I used to put all my Barbies into and the smell. And I literally just was like, and I was at her house earlier that day. Yeah. So like earlier today. So I just really got sucked right into that moment and I was like, whoa, how crazy that a scent does that. And I wanted to buy it so badly, bloody hell, why is it $60? And I just got back from my overseas trip, but as soon as I can afford that baby, I'm taking it. I'm getting it just to light it up when I need to cry, you know. Like, let's go extra level of inner child work today.
Okay, this is how much I depend on certain smells.
Yeah.
When my grandfather passed away, I took one of his jumpers. And my grandfather had a certain smell.
They all do.
He just smelled like fresh washing because my ear was like a clean freak. So I have wrapped that jumper in a Ziploc bag with no air in it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do a couple times a year, I grab the jumper, I open it, smell it, zip it back up and put it away.
That seems a smart idea, to be honest.
And I smell, my grandfather passed away, when did he pass away? 2015. Mm. It still smells like him.
That's a really smart idea.
Yeah, genius.
Yeah.
2015?
Yeah, I think you're right.
2016, maybe. I think it was 2016, February. It's been a long time since he passed away, and it still smells like him. It's actually an achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But man, my Christmas tree. My Christmas tree is older than me. We're so off topic.
Yeah.
My Christmas tree is older than me. It was part of my fam, like my grandparents gifted it to my parents when they got married or something.
Oh, wow. What a good, that's how good old gift. Yeah, take a Christmas tree.
Yeah. I know. And when my parents got divorced, the one thing I got out of it was the Christmas tree. I was like, nice. That is mine. Ooh. And I took it when I put it up, Elle, and it takes me so long because it's like the old school way where you have to actually attach every branch.
Yeah.
I smell the tree every day during Christmas time. I'll go up to the tree and be like,
I've watched you.
Oh, baby. And then I'll walk away.
Nothing makes Elle more happy than during the Christmas time when everyone else in her house is asleep for me to come over. Like, I'm tiptoeing Santa Claus. Her to mellow down the lights and just have the Christmas tree lights up. And us to sip on some little chai, like my tea, and she has her little coffee, and we just sit there admiring the tree.
Admiring the tree.
And you sniff it every couple of times, and I just tell you how, like, it's literally one of the prettiest Christmas trees I've ever seen.
Elle!
You have a way of, like, working those ornaments out.
Oh, yeah.
Where I really have struggled to make. This Christmas, we shall do side-by-side post of our Christmas trees.
Because, All right.
Hope you guys enjoyed today's episode.
Yeah.
We kind of just spoke about anything we kind of had a venting session, which we really needed.
I needed to vent.
Yeah.
I needed to vent.
I think it was necessary, I feel like.
Can you tell by my voice that I've had it.
Uh-huh.
I've been through it and I've had it.
Yeah. It's one of those nights.
Yes.
But I feel like, guys, if you relate to us, please let us know. Like, we want to know if we're talking to a bunch of people that don't know anything that we're talking about, please let us know so that we don't
What's
keep
it like
about
to
it
have
here.
Parents that are together as adults
and that are really mature.
Yes.
But yeah, I feel like these are really important conversations, especially for those that do get what we're talking about and like have felt how we've felt before. And it's okay to talk about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
I also think that, like, there is an idea that me and Elle have been kind of sitting on. And if you are listening and you'd be keen for it, please let us know because we want to really try to do it. But to just make, like, an event where, like, others who have, like, just occasionally like to cry about, like, the fact that they're, like, they had some family issues when they were a kid.
Yeah.
Or those who don't speak to a parent anymore, like a place where people can just come and like talk to each other and like just a safe space for connecting with people, especially if like you're looking for new friends and things like that. Sometimes the best places to find people are at like networking events, and networking events can be a bit like harsh because you don't know what everyone's background's like.
Yeah.
You don't know if people are there just to like network for business and stuff like that.
Yeah. So whereas we want to do, everyone has a common ground.
Yeah.
Everyone has kind of gone through a similar situation. And we can all bond and cry over it.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not always a safe space to open up about something like that.
Definitely.
So to create a safe space in person would be really, really special to us.
Yeah.
So, if that's something that you guys would be keen on, we'd love to hear your feedback.
Yeah.
Please say yes. And we can organize that for you guys. Yeah, we'd love to organize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that is it. Make sure you check out our Spotify playlist. It features every song that we have in every episode.
I will update it.
Maybe not the last, like, five episodes.
I was away. I need to update it.
Yes. Okay, Elle.
Yes.
Just kidding. All right.
Oh, yes. If you would like to work with me with one-on-one coaching, I am available. So please send me a message on Instagram.
All right, guys. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.